Hi, I'm Pastor Wayne A. Lewis from the Word Incorporated Church in Toronto. And I want to thank you for taking this opportunity, this time of listening with me as we selah a little bit on God's Word. I was kind of wrestling with myself, thinking, how do I jump in? And I remembered a conversation that I had with a group of students. And a question came about one way or another, what are your qualifications? What makes you qualified to speak to us today about this topic? I can't really remember the topic right now. And instantly the Holy Spirit gave me my qualifications. No, it's not about whether I have a degree in theology or in psychology. It wasn't about, how much money I made. My qualifications were this, and I'm going to share it with you, is that at a very young age, poverty came into my house when my parents got divorced. I was about 6, and we went from middle class to growing up into one of the toughest neighborhoods in the city, Rexdale. And almost immediately, I began to realize how my life changed forever. There were literally thousands of us growing up in the community. And I didn't know God, even though I went to a Catholic school and we learned about Jesus and Mary and the apostles and all of those things. There was a tug on my heart, but it was just a tug, and I ignored it for many years. Those were my qualifications, I said to these students. And then I went on and I told them about some of my troubles that I experienced. In fact, I gave an excerpt of a book that I was writing. And it says that my heart was racing faster than a majestic thoroughbred at a Kentucky Derby. I was innocent, but I knew there was no way in hell the police would believe me, a young black man in a company of 2 friends who were not strangers to the law. So what did I do? I ran. I ran like a runaway slave whose mind was filled with the euphoria of stress, of pleasures and pain. Each calculated step revived me and reminded me of the horrendous thoughts of what if. What if my soles of my sneakers unsparingly pounded a concrete jungle that lay before me? What if I slipped? What if I couldn't find a quick escape route? Every step took me closer to freedom or to the last of the merciless scorpions of the taskmaster's whip. My lynching would be carried before the masses. No chance of parole. Every step that I took, my anxiety heightened and my fear rising deep inside of my heart. I ran, I ran, I ran for my life. There I was running, innocent as I was. I was innocent, but I ran. But who would believe me? I was 14 years old, downtown Toronto, with my friends, having a good time. One thing led to another, and I ran. I was innocent. No one would believe me. I remember the next day after the police came to my house and I was arrested, charged with breaking and entering. I was innocent. When I went to school that Monday, my fame went up. They called me a hero because I did not rat. I did not tell the police who it was. It was amazing. I was really scared. I was really afraid. But I became famous at that time. It's amazing how it was. At the age of 14, I realized that I had a calling on my life. No, it wasn't to the pulpit. It wasn't to preach his word. It was to do anything and to be anything I wanted to be in the streets. And for the next 7 or so years, I did exactly that. In fact, it was 10 years. I did exactly that. I did whatever the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life demanded me to do. It was amazing how you could do so much knowing so little and having so much pleasure and pain simultaneously. But something happened. There it was again, that call, that knock, knock, knock on my heart. And then something amazing happened, something absolutely unexpected. I heard a word. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Someone said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." For some reason that moved me. For some reason it compelled me to know more about Jesus. And I'm telling you, I began a journey of finding truth. I studied a little bit of Islam. I thought Jesus was black and had dreads. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to know the truth, the whole truth and nothing but. But something told me that he wasn't found there. Jesus was not limited to one's pigmentation. And then someone invited me to church. And I went to a church, and almost everyone in the church did not look like me. The music wasn't great. But when the man of God preached the word, it stirred my heart. And I guess it was about a year. I would go every Sunday, sometimes still intoxicated from the night before, sometimes still smelling like weed, sometimes still caught up in the same old. I would go, and for about 90 minutes or so, because it was one of those church, I'm speaking about him just preaching and teaching, I was amazed. But I said, if this was the truth, everything that this man says that's in the Bible, I would have to read it. And so I would go home, and unbeknownst to me, I would say la. I would read the word, and I would begin to meditate upon it. I would begin to thinking about it. You know, well, what if Jesus really doesn't care about my pigmentation? And what if Jesus doesn't really care about my education? What if my postal code doesn't disqualify me from heaven? And I began to read and meditate and meditate and read on God's word. And it was amazing when I came once again across this verse. I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." It was like snap, crackle, and pop. What if my life could change? At this time, I was in university, studied to being a psychologist. That was the plan, at least. Listen, it was a miracle for me to even be there. Thank God for grace and thank God for mercy. Although I didn't know him, my heart was moving towards him. But something peculiar happened. I could still see myself in the hallway, and I heard that, which is now a familiar voice, that call into the ministry. By the next Sunday, there was a new preacher in the church. I guess we were having revival meetings. I didn't know what revival was back then, but there I was. I found myself on the front pews listening to now a new preacher speaking. I don't know his message. I don't know it. I just know that he was reading my mail. He was reading my email. He was reading my SIM card. He was speaking directly to me, and my heart was coming out of my chest so profound. And as soon as he gave that invitation, when he said the doors of the church are open, I ran up there. I don't know how many people came to the altar that day. I just know this. No one was up there before me. December 2nd, 1996. The front of the pew, I gave Jesus my life. It wasn't an emotional decision. It was a decision that I thought about for months as I meditated on his word, as I was thinking, what if Jesus is that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? What if he would forgive me of my sins, my iniquity, and my transgression? So I gave my heart to God, and then almost immediately that call that I spoke about earlier came upon my life, and he called me into the ministry, and I began to both to preach and began to both to teach. Those are my qualifications. That's what allows me to be here today to share with you some of these truths that God has showed me in his word. But don't get it twisted. There's no new revelation. There's nothing different that is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, or Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, and all in between. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What Selah is all about is a young man who God has saved from the streets of Rexdale, 2757 Kipling Avenue, 2737 Kipling. God touched and God moved and God blessed and God redeemed and God healed and God has forgiven and God has redeemed to do something extraordinary. So believe it or not, as I was telling these young lions my qualification, I concluded something like this. I'm just a nobody that God has told to tell somebody about his son. I told them, when you look at me, when you listen to me, you're looking and you're listening at a miracle. I shouldn't be here. Up until that day, this day is the same, I have been to more funerals than graduations and weddings. I've seen more young people walk away from the kingdom that have come in. But even that's changing. My God, my God. If one word could change me, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. If that one verse could really minister to a young man who was caught up in sin and sickness and change him, I wonder what the rest of the word could do. And that began my journey all those years ago, seeking God, reading his word, meditating on it. More than anything, that is what I hope to do. I pray that I'd be able to inspire you to take God at his word. I pray that I'll be able to challenge you to just not listen to what your pastor has to say, what that preacher has to say, but actually go back and read the word for yourself, because you have to know the word of God for yourself. That's my heart's desire, that your eyes would be forever open and that your heart would be forever changed. Well, let me conclude this testimony of mine. It's amazing. After I got saved, my number one desire outside of pleasing God and knowing God and serving God was that God would give me a wife. And I prayed for 3 years. In fact, anyone who knows me could testify. If you had faith in God, you were my prayer partner. I came in agreement with everybody for my wife, and God has blessed me, blessed us. We're going on 14 years, 7 children later, and a ministry that's all about Jesus. Man, I thank God for his goodness, and I thank God for his grace. Well, praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Have a great day, and God bless.